There's a psikta, fascinating psikta, on the pasuk Ashrei ha'om yoidei serua. It says as follows: Amar Rabbi Yoshia, k'siv Ashrei ha'om yoidei serua. Fortunate is the nation that knows how to blow a trua, it seems. Frek de psikta v'umais ha'olam einam yoidim lahariya. The goyim don't know how to blow a trua. Kama Karnois Yeshlahem, and here now we have some names that I'm not so familiar with. The Kama Bukinas Yeshlahem. The Kama, what?
That's a horn.
Okay, maybe you could help me with the next one too. In which language?
It's
and the Kama Salfangus Yeshlahem. It's Mine Kalim. But anyway, the Umay Sa'ilam have many different Kalim and trumpets, chatzaitzrois, koronais, va'at oimer ashrei ha'om yoidei serua, ella, zokta psikta, ashrei ha'om sheyoidim lefatois es yoitzram betrua. Fortunate is the nation that knows how to be mefate, how to seduce their boirei with a trua. So this lashon of Pitoy sounds like it's not the Shuras Hadin. Being Mefata is like to convince or to deceive, some say. It's a lashon of, it's not the straight path. What is this idea that Klal Yisrael knows how to be Mefata HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And you taka see that there's another psikta in the same psikta earlier on, more famous, and it's brought by the Gra and Shulchan Aruch, that says that on the pasuk of Olo Elokim Bisrua, the psikta says that when Klal Yisrael blow shofar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Oile Mekise Din, V'yoyshev Al Kisei Rachamim. So you see that the trua has that effect on HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves Din, he gets up from the Kisei Din, and he's Yeshev al Kisei Rachamim. So I want to try to taste a little bit what this Mahalach is and how this affects our Avoda. There's a stira in Chazal. In Pirkei Avos, in the end of the fourth Perek, the Mishnah says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, She'ein lefanav loy avla, v'loy shechicha, v'loy masoy panim, v'loy mekach shoychad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely yashar. There is no shoychad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not take shoychad. However, the Medrash in Tehillim says not that way. Unbelievable Medrash. The Pasuk says in Tehillim in Kapitel Yud Zayin, it says, Milfanecha mishpati yetze. David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want my mishpat to come out from you, to Hashem. David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Milfanecha mishpati yetze. So the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to David HaMelech and says, David, is it for nothing that I made a Sanhedrin? I have a Sanhedrin. Go leich v'tadun lefneihem. I don't know what that means, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there's a Sanhedrin for that. You're davening to me that me lefonai, you know, your mishpat should come out. Go to the Sanhedrin. So David HaMelech responds to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Rabbi Nishalaylam, you wrote in your Torah leisikach sheichad. So your dayanim, they have this thing, they won't take sheichad. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you take sheichad. As the pasuk says in Mishle, it says, sheichad micheik rasha yikach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes sheichad from the cheik of a rasha. So I don't want to go to them, they don't take sheichad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to go to you, you take sheichad. What is that sheichad? Tshuva umaisim tovim. That's the shoychad. And then the Medrash stops, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking. And the Medrash says, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After you learned about this interaction between David HaMelech and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu li Yisrael, Bonai, Ad Shesharei Tshuva Psuchin, while the Sharei Tshuva are Psuchin, Asu Tshuva, She'ani Noitel Tshuva Ba'ilam Hazeh. So on one hand, Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take Sheichad. On the other hand, a whole arichus and a medrash that David HaMelech tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want to go to them, they don't take Sheichad, but you take Sheichad. So what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Sheichad? What does it mean he doesn't take Sheichad? What does it mean he does take Sheichad? So let's talk about Sheichad a little bit. The Gemara says in Ksubas Daf Kufei Amar Aleph, the Gemara says that the Isser of Sheichad has nothing to do with who's right and who's wrong. Even if the Dayan would independently know with 100% certainty who's the Zakai and who's the Chayiv, it's Asr for him to take Sheichad from the Zakai to be Mizaka the Zakai. It's Asr to take Sheichad. Paladika thing. I mean, it's true. You never know what could happen. And once you start taking Sheichad, things could deteriorate. But if you look at the Gemara says that the mitzvah of the Isser of taking Sheichad is even if you had a foolproof system to know for sure that that you're not going to be ma'aves the din, it's not appropriate to take Sheichad. Sheichad is asa. What's the pshat? So the Gemara on Kuf Hei Amud Beis in Ksubas says, B'shem Rava, Omar Rava, my taima de Sheichada, what's the reason for Sheichad? What's the reason for the Isser of Sheichad? And Rashi there says, what's the reason for Sheichad? V'haloi, it's true, even if you're going to be Mezaka the Zakai. So don't tell me that the reason for Sheichad is that you're going to mess up the din, because it's true even if you're not going to mess up the din. Says the Gemara, Kivan de kabile Sheichda mine, since you were makabel Sheichad, once you were makabel Sheichad, ikravale daite legabe, it creates a kirvas hadas. It creates a closeness, a bond between the noisein and the makabel. Rashi says such a lashon there that it creates like a lev echad, a unified heart. The ein adam roya chayva la'atzmai. A person doesn't see a chayva for himself, and that's himself. That guy. My Sheichad, what does the word Sheichad mean? What's Sheichad? Zakti Gemara, Shehu Chad, that he becomes one. Because when somebody takes Sheichad, when Reuven gives Shimon Sheichad, Reuven and Shimon are now one. Shehu Chad, that creates a oneness and a kurva. What do you see from here? You see that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Dayanim should be Dan, that means that they have to employ a midah called Din. Din only exists when there are two sides and a hachra. There's a tzad to say chayiv and a tzad to say pater or vice versa, and there's a hachra. Even if I know for sure that when I'm mezake you, I'm right. But once I take sheichad, there's no tutzdadim anymore. Once I take sheichad, it's shehuchad. Ein adam roya chayva la'atzmai. I can't look at it the other way. So, and it could be I verified that it's right. It could be I know for a fact that it's right. But that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzavah dayanim to paskin. Chacham, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was mitzave, that Dayanim should paskin. We should be, like the Gemara says in Shabbos, Shutuf in HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'maisa bereishis, called Dayan Shadon Din Emes La'amitai is Nasa Shutuf in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Don Din Emes La'amitai is to look at the Inyan separate from myself, to see a tzad chayiv, to see a tzad zakai, and to be machria between those tzadim. But once it's myself, I ain't on the roya chayiv la'atzmai. Maybe I'm right to be mezaka the zakai, but it's not called din. It's not din. It's a different kind of midah. It's a different mahalach, but that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzave Dayanim to do. And with Dayanim, we're not Nevi'im. Chazal tells Dayanim to do the thing called din. And din is that it has to be separate from me. It has to be separate from the Dayan. And Kol Zman, the Dayan was Mekabel Shoichad, he's one with the Nidain, and if he's one with the Nidain, there are no Tutsdadim, and if there are no Tutsdadim, that's not din. That's the issue. That's the issue of Shoichad. Now let's talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shoichad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avada does not take Shoichad. By the way, just to clarify, like, what kind of Shoichad are we talking about here? What are you gonna? You're gonna stuff some extra money under the Aron Kodesh, you know, a few hundreds under the Aron Kodesh to give Shoichad to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam says in the Pirush HaMishnayos that the Shoichad here is the Maisim Tovim of the person. In other words, we know that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if a person does 100 Maisim Tovim and one Avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Dan on that Avera. And if a person does 100 Averas and one Mitzvah, he gets Schar for that Mitzvah. That means you could have a person that's Mamish, Mole Averas, but for that bracha or that chesed, he gets schar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take shoichad means that even if a person has a riboy of ma'isim tovim, that's how the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos learns pshat, even if he has a riboy of ma'isim tovim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dan. Chayiv, zakai, on each ma'isa. There's no shoichad. And avada, that's true. V'loy mekach shoichad, like the Mishnah says. The thing is like this. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just a Dayan. He's Malkeinu, he's also Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's different Hanhagas that he has. He has a Midas Adin, he has a Midas Harachamim. Our goal in getting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take Shoichad is not that he should be done with Shoichad. There's no such a thing. Loi Mekach Shoichad. It's that we want to be Megala within ourselves, a nekuda that makes us chadhu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we could reveal within ourselves a way, if we have a way of making HaKadosh Baruch Hu look at us, ein adam raya chayva le'atzmai, because we're an extension of him, because we're part of him, kaviyachol, so then we've changed the midah, that it's no longer din. Like it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is oyle mekisei din, v'yoshev al kisei rachamim. Shoichad to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Shoichad, means there's a way to take him away from din. By making him chad. By making it that we're one. And if we're one, there's no longer din. Let's explain how this works. There's a paragraph in the Yom Kippur Pachad Yitzchak in Maimer Lamed Hey, where he talks about Shoichad. And he says something fascinating. He says that the person that does tshuva, be'emes, is transcending the inyan of shoichad in himself. How do you do tshuva? You have to be makir echet. You have to be roya negei atzmai. You have to be roya chayva la'atzmai. And you have to express it. That's vidui. We express a chait. So he says any person that's doing tshuva, they're somehow transcending this kaishi of that I can't see negayatzmi. When we get up over Aseres Yimei Tshuva and Yom Kippur, and we say, Al-Chet Shechatanu Lufanecha with this, and Al-Chet Shechatanu Al-Shamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, like we say in the morning by Slichas, Dibarnu Daifi, Evinu Ve'ershanu. We're being Raya Chayva La'atzmi. We're being Makir, a Chisaren, and a Chet within ourselves. So in a certain sense, the person that's coming to do Tshuva is himself transcending that challenge of Ein Adam Raya Negei Atzmai. How does he do that? How's that? That's Adkan Revutner for whatever purpose he says it. But how does the Gemara says Ein Adam Raya Negei Atzmai? The Gemara says Ein Adam Raya Chayva Latzmai. So how does he do it work? The Gemara says it doesn't work. So how does it work? How do we all get up and do tshuva? Where does the kayach come from to be able to be roya nigei atzmai? I think that the answer to that question has to do with the fact that we're complex people. And we are people that are made up of many, many, many different layers. We have external, very coarse, gashmiyazdika layers. We have internal, pnimiyazdika, she'ifais, and ritzainais that are mamish sula mutzav artsav eroishai magia hashamayma. And we go up and down that ladder at different times. Our value system, like when we're sitting and davening ni'ila, we're coming from a place. It's not the same place that we are on a regular Monday afternoon. It's from a different place inside of us. When a person finds themselves focused on their Torah and their avoda and they're grounded and they're in a good matzav, so then they're identifying, they're being mizdaheh with a deeper part of themselves, a bigger part of themselves. When we get annoyed, or when little things bother us, when we get petty, when we talk Le'Aleinu, when we talk Lashon Hara, when we chepa, these type of things, when we it's like this external chitzaniyistic shell that we have that sometimes we identify with that. There's different layers inside of us. How many times have we sat down after a day and looked back at the events of the day and questioned our sanity, like, what got into me? What do you mean, what got into you? That was you a few hours ago. Yeah, I was identifying with a different part of myself, with a Yetzer Hara part of myself, with a childish part of myself, with a katnostika part of myself. But now that I sit down and I'm misyashev, or I do tshuva, or I think about what's important in life, now I'm being oiches, my vantage point is from a different, I'm holding a different place on the ladder. I remember many years ago, almost 20 years ago, when I was mugged in the parking lot right there at gunpoint, and it was pretty frightening. And I was not 100% badass. I started running away. I was standing, those of you who remember, I was standing with Yossi Orlansky in the parking lot. He ran in one direction, I ran in the other direction, and I guess I looked like a good target. Either weaker or richer. I don't know which one. And they chased me down, and I fell on the hill over here. I fell, and I was laying on the ground. And they waved a gun in my face, and they asked me for my wallet. And I saw my life flashing in front of my eyes. And then they took my wallet, and they ran. And the next day, when I got up, or even later that night, the whole world looked so colorful and rich. My children were so zeis, and I was so happy. I just, when you realize, like, when there's that moment, I'm not saying that everyone reacts the same way, but when you have that moment, suddenly, and there could have been, I don't remember now, you know, it's all history now, you know, I don't remember. I wonder what was on my mind 10 minutes before. I wonder what I was worried. This one did that and this that. I wonder what narishkeit I was concerned about a few minutes before. But at that moment that I realized how grateful I am to the Rabbanu Shalom that I am alive, nothing bothered me. I was good. I had no worries. I was the richest, happiest guy in the world. And trust me, I was far from the richest. But I felt that way. It depends where you are in yourself. So when Rav Huttner says that someone who's doing tshuva is able to transcend the challenge of I can't see nigei atzmi, well, that depends where in myself I am. If I go down or up, however you want to look at it, and I look at the world through from a deeper place, from a more ruchniyistic place, I look at myself as an Eved Hashem. I look at the true value system that I have ingrained inside me of Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, of Kavod Shamayim, and then I look out that other part of me that I'm not identifying with now, I could see there are problems there. I think that's the Mahalach. I think that's the process. When I'm in it, I can't see Nigei Atzmi because that's me. A little bit like the Rambam says that the Baal Tshuva changes his name. Why does he change his name? Kloimar, as if to say, in any Yisayish, I'm not the same person. What is that, a game? Change your name, you're not the same person? Get a new driver's license? What does that mean? And even if it's symbolic, so what does it symbolize? The point is I'm changing my name. The point is that I'm not identifying with that chayte. That's not me. That's not who I am. I'm now connecting with a deeper, better, more spiritual, more grounded, more ruchniyistic shechva layer in myself. And from there, I'm seeing some issues. And I'm being misavade to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about those issues. Now, what am I being megala? So the Sfarim tell us that when we hear the shofar, the blow of the shofar is pail on a person. It has an effect on a person. What is the effect of blowing shofar? The effect of blowing shofar, let's start with the Rambam. The effect of blowing shofar is to be megala, that which is hidden inside me. Is to be megala, those deeper chelkei ha-nefesh that are hidden inside me, as the Rambam says. Avol remez yesh bo, zok the Rambam, that the shofar speaks, the shofar gives us a message. And his message, the message of the shofar is, uru yishenem mishinaschem, that sleeping ones should wake up from their sleep, the nirdamim hekitzu mitar de maschem. Is that we sometimes forget that truth, that depth, that neshama inside of us, in the tumult of the zman, and the neshama. Just like let's look at what the Rambam says. It's ki'ilu uru yishena meshinaschem. What happens when a person is sleeping? When a person is sleeping, externally they look dead. Their koiches ha-nefesh are all muted. They're dead. There's just a shell on the outside. And their chios is on the inside. And when you wake them up, what are you doing? You're taking that chios that's hiding on the inside, ani yishena v'libi er, you're taking that chios that's on the inside and you're bringing out the chios. And now the person stretches and gets up, and now that chios has broken the surface and comes out to the outside. And that's the Rambam's mashal for the pu'ula of the shofar. Because that's what the shofar does. The shofar reminds us of the deeper layers inside of us. The shofar reminds us of the ma'amake ha-nefesh of a person from where he says, va'ani kirvas alekim li tov. Because every single yid, every single Ben Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov has that ga'aguim and that cheshek and that yearning of Ani kirvas alekim li tov inside of him. Some people are more in touch with that yearning, that burning desire for Aliyah, and some people are less in touch with it. And let's understand, sometimes we're more in touch with it, even as individuals. Sometimes we are more in touch with it, and sometimes we are less in touch with it. When the shofar blows, it's like a sleeping person waking up. There's a chiyus, there's a nishmas, a chelek elokami mal that's inside me, a vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew kaviyachal, a part of himself inside me. And when the shofar blows, that starts to stir. That, and that's the whole Rosh Hashanah is that stirring of that Oyver Hashem, of that Nishmas Chaim, on this day of the Briyas Adam, on the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Vayipach Ba'ap of Nishmas Chaim. And it starts to vibrate on the inside. This Ratzon, this Cheshek, this Gaguim, this yearning to be Mischaber with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we do that and we identify with that layer inside of us, the external things become separate from us. We're now looking from a different vantage point. We're now looking at things differently. We're looking at the world differently. I always use this mashal in a Mesilas Yesharim share about, we've talked about this, with the Olam, we've schmoozed about this, about the dramatic changes that happen as soon as a person makes money. The dramatic changes that happen in a person. But I want to use that mashal that some of you know just to bring out how quickly the changes could happen l'tayv also. So forgive me to say this mashal. It's a favorite mashal of mine. I heard when I was very young. So the mashal goes that there was a very, very, very poor man in Russia, lived on the outskirts of town. He mamish didn't have nothing, no lechem v'simla. He was completely poverty stricken, and he schlepped into town to the store, and he tells the store owner, "I have 1 ruble left to my name. Is there anything that I could buy for a ruble? Something, a psishtikal food, something." And the store owner says, "No. Inflation. V'chulu, there's nothing to buy for you, except you could buy a lottery ticket. And you might as well. It's not like you could buy any bread anyway. Buy a lottery ticket, you never know." So the guy buys a lottery ticket. He goes back home, schleps into his hut, and goes to sleep at night, and now that's it. Now the house is empty. At midnight, the telegram arrives to the store. The guy won the lottery. He's a millionaire. The store owner cannot believe this. Imagine such a rags-to-riches story. He can't believe it. So he jumps on his horse and he races to the outskirts of town. And he rushes to the guy's house and he starts pounding on the door. The whole hut is shaking and tumbling. The guy's pounding on the door. And this Ani comes to the door, verschlafen, depressed. He opens the door, yes, and he says, "You're rich! You won the lottery! You're a rich man!" And instantly the guy straightens up and says, "And you dare wake up a rich man in the middle of the night." The story is not true, but the story is true. Because when our perspective changes, everything changes. And the shofar has that kayach, that uru yishena mishinaschem. In a moment, I'm looking at life. That's not important. That's important. That clinic, what am I? I'm so makbet, I get annoyed. My wife does this. My kids do that. My boss does this. These are narishkeiten. What's important is this. And the shift of the pneumius waking up, what Rav Huttner calls a hachiyas rishamim, that the roishim of chiyas that's left in a person starts to wake up. It has a profound effect on a person. Rabbi Isai, what's waking up? What's waking up in that Uru Yishenim is the part of us that's the most, that has the most in common, kaviyachal, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the chelek alekami mal inside of us. It's our neshama that starts to stir. Oh, that's what the psikta means. The psikta says, Ashrei ha'am yoidei surua. Ashrei ha'om that are yodea lefatois es yoitzrom, that we're able to be mefata HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which the Sfarim say is like a shoychad, a type of shoychad, where we can give where the hanhaga changes from din to rachamim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is oyla mikisei din v'yoshev al kisei rachamim, because through the shofar, we've become chadhu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I was sitting in my katnos, there's a big gap between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we're identifying with the Chelek HaGuf. We're identifying with the Chelek HaChitzon, with the Chelek HaYetzer. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do a din. We're separate. But when we hear the Shofar, and the Shofar is Me'oyer, that Chelek Elokam Imal, then suddenly we're mamish part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was thinking that's like we say Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seira Secha. Like in the process of tshuva, we become his banim. We become similar. We're following in his derech. So that's the shoychad, and that's why with the blowing of the shofar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is oimid me kisei din v'yoshev al kisei rachamim. Now the day of Rosh Hashanah has a mitzvah of tkiyas shofar, which has this kayach, but it's a day that's also called a yom trua. It embodies this avoda, embodies the whole day, and the truth is, it embodies the hachana for that day. The avoda of Rosh Hashanah is to stand with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we're doing when we're being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to stand with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I stand with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The part of me that I am makir, the part of me that I look at the world through, the lens that I look through the world, is the part of me that's a neshama, is the part of me that's yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the part of me that's subservient to his Torah, is the part of me that's mishtasheya with his Torah. That's the me. And the avodah leading up to Rosh Hashanah is to try to identify our me as the me that's doima to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How are you makayim ledovka bai? He dovek b'midoisav. Is when we're doima to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how we become chadhu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think that in the few days leading up to Rosh Hashanah, where the whole 48 hours of Rosh Hashanah is that Uru Yishenim, is bringing out that oimek within us, but in the days leading up to it, there's a lot of work to do to be meichen for that, to be meichen, to prepare ourselves. And sometimes I'm not even sure which part of the avodah is harder, the part of the avodah of being oiches in the deeper parts of ourselves, or the part of the avodah of letting go of the kindisher parts of ourselves. It's yesh ladon, which part of that avodah is more difficult. But certainly the days leading up to Rosh Hashanah are days that we want to look, we want to make a cheshbon on our maisim and on our thoughts, and we want to try to have a perspective, not just mitzvahs and averus, which of course we're watching ourselves, but on katnus and gadlus as well. When we're yearning to be able to identify with and connect with a great part of us, and not a childish and small part of us. And the part of us that has taivas and issues and struggles and pulls towards chait, that's the small part of us. And there's it's a dual avoda over the next few days. Mitzad echad is an avoda of trying to bring out that madrega, that sheichad, that yoidei srua, that nishmas elekim imal, that's tamun, that's hidden, that's perhaps sleeping inside of us. That's on one end, but on the other end is also to be makir, and it starts just with being makir. To being makir, that's not godless. That's not someone who's a neshama dekiyid. There's more to talk about this sugya, but and we've been a little bit holding in it the last few weeks here, but there's it's not just in Se'ifim and Shulchan Aruch. There's a way of acting, there's a way of being noyig that a big person acts, and there's a way of being noyig that a small person acts. And it's something that we have to try to be aware of because the effect goes both ways. Being big makes us act big, but acting small schleps us down to being small. And a lot of it has to do with our relationship with food and the way we act at home and the way we act in private, the way we're manhig ourselves, the way we speak, the slang that we use, the way we express ourselves when we're upset. These types of things, that yeah, I can't. Some of them, yeah, some of them not necessarily could point to a Se'if and Shulchan Aruch or a Lav in the Torah or a Rambam that's mefurish, but we know what we know what it is. That there's a certain way. There's a certain way of acting. That if our Rebbe acted that way, we would be confused and disappointed if we saw the Rebbe acting that way. And that's something for us to think about because that's a certain godless. When I pause, by the way, it's because I'm trying to see how far I can push. But let me say another example. You know, we have a kiddush problem in shul. The kiddush problem that we have is that when it's a geshmak, a kiddush, that the kids end up sitting down before the adults. You've noticed that? It's an issue that we have. We've spoken about it and what to do about it and how to be mechanech and so on. You know, what's the right way to do it? We hope that fathers will be mechanech their children, let the adults sit first. But I always worry about that. Let the adults sit first, why? So they could eat? An interesting question. Somebody told me yesterday, I was in Queens for Shabbos, so there was a boy there, we were eating Kiddush, there was a boy there, and he was saying that in camp, the counselors made Kiddush, and the boys had their food, and the counselors had their food. That's one version of godless. So I was thinking about that like, you know, every once in a while, there's a Kiddush, and we make taka a children's table, and we put candy on the children's table. And we get so annoyed when the kids take their cups and they go in and they stuff. You remember those days? You know, the licorice is falling out of the cups. And every father knows that his kid is never going to eat all of it anyway. And if he does, then it's a bigger rachmanis. And you know, like. But I remember a time that we had a Simchas Torah kiddush here. We were sitting there. And we had a very, very, very generous sponsor for the kiddush. And the sponsor made for the kiddush. Now it became like a staple in some places, but it was a new musig then called meat platters, right? And they put out meat platters. What an embarrassment. We're not any different than the kids. We're mamash like the kids. We just have different candy. It's just a question of the candy. But it's the same thing. And everyone's drooling. We couldn't sing. We couldn't focus. We're looking at the meat and... It's an avoid because it's real. I find myself distracted also. I should say, for honesty's sake, I should say, like I Yosef, I think I told this to you many times that I remember standing and this image stays in my head. I remember standing in Davening Shmoneh Esrei in the lobby by yeshiva dinner, and I was davening a good Shmoneh Esrei. But it was in a lobby, you know, we made a minyan, it was in the lobby. You know, like when you daven Shmoneh Esrei, like not in a regular place, your eyes like flutter open a little bit, even if you're davening with your eyes closed. I'll never forget this. It was like this embarrassing moment. I didn't realize they were serving dessert around us. Like after we started davening, they started bringing out the dessert trays. So I still remember this. I don't remember which bracha you might remember, but I think it was Shema Koleinu. That I was like, Shema Koleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, cream puffs. Mamish like that. I didn't say cream puffs, but in my head, mamish like that. And I start being Dan. I'm on a diet, but maybe it's a mitzvah. You know, like the whole thing. I'm just saying that, like, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to us. But there's a sense. This is a time of year to focus on it. There's a sense of the Uru Yishenim Eshinaschem that we try to find and identify the gadlus, the neshama, the she'ifa to greatness inside of us, and at the same time to try to be marchik ourselves from the child, from the katan, from the small-mindedness, from the pettiness, from the insults, from the getting insulted, giving insults, and that whole smallness that surrounds us sometimes, and being able to step away from it. So the tefillah that I'll end with before we get ready for as we get ready for Rosh Hashanah, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should lead us on a path that we should be able to be megala that neshama within us, that godless within us, and we should have the perspective and the strength to see the katnus and step away from it, and that when that moment comes that the shofar blows and this trembling of aliyah, of sheichat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of pitoy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu resonates inside of us, it should resonate so strongly in all of us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no choice but to bring us where we belong, back to Eretz Yisrael, b'mehirah v'yameinu. Oh, just if you want, I made a few copies of these Divrei Torah if anybody wants.